my Christian doing Christian now. You let me hear that? Right. Now, we start ages 90 and 91. The UN has broken things there to maybe kill. And that means, on the subject of Hashem's caring for us, caring not in the sense of loving and caring, but caring in looking after us and looking in a very general way. God's looking after us, that is what I mean by caring in a very general way. And I think I told you that when I came to America, and particularly to California, there were several things that shocked me. Now, it's my work, even when I'm shocked, not to show that I'm shocked. And to the best of my ability, I did that. But my first shock was the idea of God that Orthodox people have thought. For example, they had no idea that there was that God, that there was a God, that there was providence, that I shouldn't care for human beings, that I shouldn't care about the world, that I shouldn't watch the world, that I shouldn't look after the world. What they didn't believe in, they believed very vaguely that God created the world in his dream state, and that is all the world that goes on. That is the first shock I had. Now this was Orthodox people who attended Orthodox synagogues, people who kept kosher homes. That is what they believed. The next shock I had was that as a time, you know, like earthquakes come, there's a shock, and then you've got to wait for the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And then I had the first shock, I knew that the next one, the next one, the next one are going to come, coming soon afterwards. The next one was, that there's no such thing as life after death. You know, there's no such thing as life after death, then we're going to go to pieces. There's nothing there anymore. So if there's no life after death, there's no reward and punishment. And what is life after death? There's some very thing we live on in our children. Some people would hate to live on in their children. They live on in their children. Another thing, your good deeds live on. They don't live on. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is after you, covered with their bones. Doesn't live on after them. What is it? Of course there is the immortality of the soul. Now you know, this came as a terrible shock to me. To me, this was a little bit different than the usual earthquake. The first shock was bad enough. But usually the second shock is less than the first shock, but this one, the second shock is worse than the first shock. Because they believe in the immortality of the soul. The soul that rises with us, our light star, has had those really stretching and coming from afar, not in entire forgetfulness and not in active nakedness, the fading clouds of glory do we come from God who is our home. They believe in that. And here we have Orthodox Jews that didn't believe in this. Then they said, but it's why they were in the Bible it's mentioned. Of course it's mentioned. And the dust returned to the earth as it was, but the spirit returned unto God who gave it. But that is in the Torah, that is in the law. What more could you want than that? And when I pointed this out to them, it was their turn to be shocked. And some of them came back to me and told me that they discussed it with their rabbis, and their rabbi said, that was put in afterwards. Yeah, then we can do anything. Then we can do anything. Anything that you don't like, it was put in afterwards. That is Greek influence. That's nonsense. No such thing as Greek influence. I showed you in the series of the that I've been giving you, and which has now drawn to an end, on Shabbos morning and Shabbos afternoon, I have shown you that there is no such thing. There are influences. Of course there are influences. And we are influenced, if you live in a place, by the same things that influence the brain, which too, we are influenced by that. We only do this. We take the influence and we take influences and we build it into something. And I explain to you, in England there is civility. What civility? What do the English do with it? They bring it down to gallantry. In Germany, there is order, organization, such order, such organization. What do they do with it? Make war with it, destroy the world with it. Look at an organization this last war had. Look at organization. In a matter of days, they overran France, and the hero language was nothing. Over to France, France was gone. Look at organization there was. Poland, all the other countries, they marched into Russia. Look how far they got before they really came into trouble. What wonderful organization. Look what they do with it. The Russians are war. So what happened to Jews in Russia? They become Hasidic. And there were some wonderful Hasidim in Russia. The Gaon of Hasidim, the Thousand Days of Hasidim, the Tongues of Hasidim. These were wonderful Hasidim. The Worms, that they took over. What did the Russians do with it? Dance, drink, singing. Deteriorated into that, that's what all it was. In Lithuania there is a co-detachment and analytical judgment. What does the girl do? He drinks himself drunk and rolls in the gutter, and that is how he's detached from the world. What does the Jew do with it? Builds up a wonderful system of thought, of Havona and Egoia, a wonderful system of thought. And he takes that and he builds it up from there. That is to say that we are influenced by the Goy. Jews who have no backbone, of course, are influenced by the Goy. There is assimilation. Look at America. America is freedom. Well, that's a great thing freedom is. To be free of this, what a great thing it is. What is America doing with freedom? Permissiveness. Just look at the permissiveness that we have to go through in the 50s, 60s, early 70s, which still holds on today. Can do what you like. That is freedom. Our definition of freedom is to be able not to do what you like, to be free. I'm so free that I cannot do what I like. But freedom, that is America. What is the goal to do with it? And what is the Jew who hates the goal, who insults the goal, who assimilates the goal, says the same thing? What do they do with it? I will give you the example of marriage. We have had an institution of marriage for over 3,000 years. 3,000 years as a nation. But it was there from the very beginning we had marriage. According to the story of Adam and Chava, it was marriage there. And everyone afterwards, there was a proper marriage. With seducing, seducing, everything in season. Those were the highest words. And there was a seducer about it, there was a holiness about it. To such an extent that the brain took it over. They took it over that they had to work for nearly 2,000 years before they got it. And they got it incorporated in their legal system. Marriage. That a man cannot just take a woman and then put her onto the street and she has a child and leave it, or two children and just leave it, can't do that. The legal system doesn't allow you to do that. Can't throw people away. And how carefully all that is worked out. Freedom doesn't, you don't need it. Why? Why should a man be encumbered? Why should he be tired? He must be free. Why should a woman be sad? She must be free. And this is the lesson which we find ourselves today. That is freedom. What is the duty with freedom? Practice it in religion. It's a free country. Buddhas were Shivas. It's a free country. They were screaming. They were government schools. The Germans use own school. It's a free country. You can do it. Not only can you like your own schools, your own machines, and your own training, your own context, your own universities. But the government still pays the rates you. They've heard of anything like that. There's no country in the world that is that free. The question is what you do with the freedom. If you feed it, and the secularist takes anything that you possess, however holy it is, and it drags it down to make it mundane, to make it earthly, to make it tangible, to make something that you can actually feel it and taste it and smell it and enjoy it. And that is called why it can be luxury. The other answer, why is that related to that? That is related to it. You can't relate to his parents. There's a generation gap. Can't relate to his grandparents. That's a generation of a generation gap. He's got an altogether different idea. And you know that beautiful story that he's told about the graphic on the website, his famous example, that he was traveling in a plane. And the plane was full, and the next to him, we were sitting in C, and next to him in A, by a professor, Jewish professor, who could speak English. Because the Japanese had not become down, they couldn't speak English. And they were speaking English together, and Rabbi Kaminev, his son, one of his sons, living the street next to him, so he sat up with that. And every round of his telephone, he would say, "Right, are you cold, father? Are you comfortable, father? Should I get your blanket? Anything I can do for your father?" Every little while he came to see his father. Till the professor came round to him and he said, "You know, my son doesn't treat me like this. My son doesn't treat me with so much respect." And Rabbi Kaminevsky answered me, he said, "It's very simple. You believe that you were the descendant from an ape. In that case, you are nearer to the ape than your son is. So why should we respect you? You are more of an ape than he is, because he's through evolution, he's gone further, he's ahead of you. You must respect him. We believe that Hashem created the first man, he was the handiwork of God. So I'm nearer to that beginning, to God's creation, than my son is. Of course he respects me." That is what kind of a generation gap. There isn't such a thing if there is a terror attitude to it. Now, those are the things that shocked me so. Second great shock. Come to this, now I feel it's a message. That life just stops there. The aim of my day, the aim of the claim to this my aim of my day. This world is stuck. A corridor, a lobby, an entrance to the world to come. I quoted you, an English poet of the late 18th century, 1800s about, what he said. So maybe life after this. But the Romans, Mors Gallia Vitae, this is the gate to life. That is a Benjamin Golden, Roman of 2,000 years ago. Can you see what a deterioration there has been in civilization? This is what has happened to that. And it's good for us to be aware of it, that we know exactly where we stand. Because for you, for me, although that is taken from your faith, because I can't see it. we've got Hashgacha. Shem is concerned, very much concerned about that, about each one. And of course there are different types of Hashgacha, there are different degrees of Hashgacha. So now we are ready to the text, paragraph 1 of chapter 1 of part 2, where the dual image of who it is known and it is clear. So common brain couldn't show either in time and then in the time attack only in a libre in the teacher, rest of the hymn, a pokemon, and then a single person came in, the marsh of the attack is a clearly so appear. Now that is a very important thing. And the Rambam, in his introduction to Sanger's Rebbe, that is his introduction to the first of the six parts of the Talmud, which is really an introduction to the whole of the Talmud, and to the whole of Jewish thought and Jewish life. The Rambam is very clear on this, that everything that exists upon earth that God has created, He has created for a purpose, and the purpose is to fit in to the ultimate and total purpose of the creation of the universe. So he says, whether, and you remember the chart that we have, whether we are speaking about that which we have been created in the physical universe, and whether that which we are speaking about is what has been created in the spiritual universe. Only that which is created in the physical universe, whether it belongs to the mineral kingdom, to the animal kingdom, to the vegetable kingdom, to the animal kingdom, to the human kingdom, is for the purpose of, thank you very much, thank you, Sina, it's there for the purpose, whether that is being created in the spiritual universe, the transcendental beings, the forces, the spiritual forces that we are in the world, all that is created for the purpose. And then we have all the souls of man, and as we remember in our chart, the souls of the soul of man, we look at that in some degree anymore. But the soul of man is joined afterwards with the body of man. So you see, everything that is in the created, there, because it is necessary and because it serves a purpose. The whole thing for them is Mr. Tazen had to be who had to the hip and to be Mike and Gabriel of Hoffman and Jamie was known the Pia Kazema to keep me as a lady had that he brought him. And he said, and all the characteristics and the laws that govern that particular subject or matter which Hashem has created, because each has got its particularism, whether it is a flower or a plant, or whether it is a mineral, whether it's a diamond or a ruby or an emerald or an opal, whatever it is, or a limestone or granite, whatever it is, it's got its own particularity. That Hashem has created because it's necessary in this universe. And whether it's the vegetable kingdom, each flower is different. Look how many different flowers there are, plants, leaves, how many different kinds in the animal world, how many different kinds of animals there are. Everything is being created for a purpose. And the Rabban deals with snakes and things like that and explains how all this is being created for a purpose. In the vegetable world, there are nickels, all that is being created for, all that is being created for a purpose. So, the Iram and Asa Tam Asmer, she liberally, all dumb countries, kind of told the man, and they start from the earth, the whole of the world, the nation of the heart. Now comes his next point. Point number two in this paragraph is, since they were created for a purpose, then it is only proper that they should be, maintained. That is, that they must continue to exist. if they were created for a purpose, and the purpose is in the ultimate equality of creation, that's where the purpose is to be found. We haven't reached the ultimate totality of creation. We haven't reached it yet. So it's necessary that all that has been created, whether it belongs to the physical universe or to the spiritual universe, must be kept alive, must be maintained. Otherwise, the ultimate totality of it, of creation, cannot be reached. The outcome, and since that is the second point, it must be maintained. So there's a third point to it. Balkano, Odebor, Husha, Bora, Kulam, Vrena, Eno, Lazi, Mona, Gantelin, Lash, Miach, Lazen. It is necessary to maintain them. Then it follows, as night follows the day, and as day follows the night, surely, that our soul has got to care for them, to see that they continue to exist, and that is as Kulam, and that can come in, and that is probably. The kind of that is so much to relate to ancient days, that they should continue to exist in that form, in that condition, with those particularities and specificities that Hashem wants them to have. That is the third point. Those are the third points that he makes. See what we want to ask.
Is the extension of the teaching from starting from time?
Or is it
not
that
now that we are
there? Are you thinking of dinner things? Or are you thinking of all these things?
Very good things. The doctor doesn't feel that we're part of Hashem's plan, because man is not allowed to destroy him.
Oh yeah, yeah. According to the paragraph, there is a possibility that dinosaurs never really existed. It's true that their fossils are there. That is true. The fossils are there. But that they actually came to life, that is questionable. But anyway, that's not to be said. That is part of the plan, that they have to be there for a certain time, and then they have to cease to exist. That they have to perform a certain function. That's a function which I don't get. But you also right, that man's purposes on earth, we let them go to the chandelier. We've got to kill them in the earth, we've got to work with them, and we've got to guard it, we've got to look after the world. We've got to look after the environment, we've got to see that it is clean, we've got to see that it is continuing to exist, and if a species goes out of existence, it's bad. That is very bad. Any other questions, yes?
There
are many ways in which one can rationalize it all. You see, the conditions as they are today, and that it takes a very long time for these things to take place. But there are other things that happen. That's right. Any other questions? Can we go on from there? Now, Now the first paragraph it just introduces the subject of Mashkohol for the subject of Providence. Now, from the very
beginning.
And the old together as well. Yes, 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 And I don't know whether I asked you last time or not when we did it, whether you wanted me to go a little bit further into it. I'm not going to say more deeply into it, but a little bit further into it. And that is again the subject of this process, where we start again by going back to that subject. If you don't want me to go more deeply into it, then I will just read to you this paragraph and translate it for you and that tells you something about it. But if you want to go a little bit more deeply into it, I'll tell you some further things about it.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It says, thank you very much. Thank you. Well, it says, the Ilo. And then it dawned on me the whole of the research that I was. We have already explained in the first part, and mainly in the fifth chapter, and that is when I did this diagram for you. It's exactly there. She says, Ilo can be drawn Kilo in my Tokhan family building. That the origin, that the beginning and the origin of anything that is found here on the, in the universe is in the transcendental forces. Yeah, in the transcendental forces. So everything that is in the physical universe has its beginnings and its origins in transcendental forces. In a way, we start showing how the Shomim, by the Shomim, the whole truth of him, in a way to be Masur Nota Kalahim, in a take of the hay, to throttle the human state. And now we say, and all these things that have their origin in the spiritual universe come down to us until they reach the Kalahim of the Let me go a little bit further and then I'll come and explain it a little bit more deeply to you. Not a little bit more deeply, I'm telling you what he is really telling us. And he says, the only brother called Tim of the day, the Dutch means, you may hear and see where the Tim is to take it from again. And there is nothing in the physical universe, whether it is small or whether it is large. And there are some things in the physical universe that they are so small that you can't even see them. And they are called microbes and bacteria.
Oh,
I didn't even understand that because I have enough of them. and viruses and all that sort of thing. There are things that are even more elusive than viruses. You get magnetism. Gravitation. Now what is it? Concrete, these are forces. But those are forces which belong to the physical world. They not they belong to the spiritual world. Although we can't see them, they still belong to the physical world. But the sources of those forces are in the spiritual world. Whatever we've got, the sources are in the spiritual world. There are only very few, and many of you like here can call anyone in them. And the master of the universe, that is Hashem is there, he is like here. He looks after, he cares for, he looks after all these matters. To be master of the realm as he is created it. The Holy Allah Prophet and Benjamin Shalom. First of all, he calls for those transcendental forces, which are the source and the beginnings of everything that we have here upon earth in the physical universe. Now, could he start to be thought to be mighty in the image? And he goes through the whole chain of process about which I was speaking you didn't see. As that he goes through the whole chain of process. The holiness here don't come and at the cooling case, these things are only four countries and have not done the time of Sunday to give the song. The husband to him, I pray us to hit a little later. And he says, and then he says, and those forces, and those powers, which he has put in charge, that they must be able to act over them. Now, we give names to them. Tsar, Baloch, Prince, Angel, but please, it is nothing that is comprehensive. It is only with an understanding in a purely abstract sense. And I remember I gave you a series of shiurim one day when I spoke to you that the real world is the abstract world. Who is the real you? Your body or your soul? Who is the real you? Your body or your personality? Who is the real you? When you make a special effort to be on your best behavior, or when you are not, you just relax to normal. Now, when do you see that? You can't touch it, it's all abstract. But that is where the reality is. So the reality is in the abstract. And that is something that only the Jews are able to understand. No other nation has been able to understand that. So if they understand that, no other nation has been able to relate to it. And if there are Jews who have been able to relate to it, no other nation has been able to translate that into reality. And so every other nation in their religion must have some kind of a symbol. Some kind of a symbol. When it comes to the Jews, they are shed, no sin. Only when the books they own their book, he has no form, he has no body, he has no form. Fully simple. Completely abstract. Look at the question then. Have to do through, let's do something first. We haven't got that. I think that's very true. Yeah, and this is true. There is a particular time reach immediately after the first world is very good, and into the period of the second world war. Whereas very, very obstructing is thinking. The problem with the creator that afterwards are called logical positivity. Very, very obstructing. I, always regard it from distance to me as a real God. He came from the earth, and he came from the enemies of the structures. He looked like a bird. He spoke like a bird. Until one day, in our witness, he was asked, how is it possible for a person like him to think in such abstract, in such an abstract way? And he said, that must be due to my Jewish ancestry, where there was great poverty. And that was the first time I knew that he was descended from Jews. Didn't know it before. Only the Jews got that. Now, so the source of everything is abstract, and it is purely spiritual. Now, when we speak about distortions, it comes from the word shaisheres, which means that there are views of the things of shame. But if it is really a question that everything that is here has its origin and its beginnings and its roots in a transcendental universe, in the spiritual universe, and in transcendental forces, that will establish anything, then we are speaking only of two, let me call them words, for want of a better word. Have you got it? So then we are speaking only about two words. So that is not Eustachianism. Eustachianism is a Sartorius. It's a chain. Now comes a very interesting thing, and that is that is exactly what the word Sartorius means. And that is, it's not just that it is a spiritual universe, and the next step is this universe. It's not like that. But it goes in degrees from one world to another world to another world to another world, until it comes down to us in this world, in this particular form. And this world is called Olam Ha'Atzila, the world of, just to help me out, of doing, of deeds, of activity. It's the Olam Ha'Atzila. Now, in the Olam Ha'Atzila, you can't work with the soul. You've got to have a body to do the work. In the same way, as you can't find oil, how many people you've got to go to find oil in Texas? Let me say, give you very good. If you want to find gold, you've got to dig. Now there are some mines that are 11,000 feet below the surface. 5,000 feet below sea level. It's probably 6,000 feet above sea level. 11,000 feet at western sea level might not even know that. 11,000 feet. Now, on the day that they find there, they're going to do it. It's a court, not so cool at all. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Yes, we need to know that. It's 11,000 feet from each other. The surface. You can't get there without influence, without instruments. You can't get there. And so, the soul has to have the instrument, and the instrument is the body for the Olam Ha'Atzila. That is what the body is. Now, for a very brief moment, about 2 weeks ago, I told Dr. Putnam that I was working in a circle theory, and I wanted to know what he thought about it. And he listened very carefully and said it was interesting, but I haven't had a chance to speak to him since then. So we look into the night sky. Now it's unfortunate that in California we haven't got a very good view of the night sky. Because the light, there's so many lights, but we don't see the stars. But if I could get out to a place where there were no lights from the cities, no lights on the road, no street lights or anything, what a wonderful sight the sky is. There are trillions of stars, galaxies. So if you take that, every billion years, every billion years, to reach there, if you were traveling at the speed of light, if you were traveling at the speed of light,
could you follow any more?
Now, let me take all that into consideration. What is the purpose of the journey? I've read the work, I shall just know this before, that every single star is created for the purpose.
Yes.
Thank you. Everything is done. What is it? only for that. Scientists once said to me, and he went to the world he wants, he was very good at his work, he said to me, it seems as if God has created something that we know it will be impossible to us ever to reach our goal to understand the philosophy of that. Just don't. It is so frightening that some scientists say that there must be life elsewhere. Otherwise, we don't think that there must be life elsewhere. And for many years now, that we've been doing all sorts of things to try and discover life, nothing shows up. Frankly, what is it all about? Now, according to the table, there are so many worlds from the source until it comes to the only reality world. So many worlds. You don't know how many. There may be thousands, there may be millions, there may be billions, there may be trillions. Say that there are trillions of worlds that the things don't. And then we have all these stars, trillions of them, and each star can be a world of its own, a whole solar system on its own. So, even in the physical world, there is my own alien body for me, something of the spiritual world. And this is a very interesting thing. That our sin gives us in the physical universe ideas of what things are in the spiritual universe. And that belongs to the heart of our sin. That belongs to our sin's kindness. And as the world progresses, as technology brings more and more things into existence, we begin to understand that very much better. And I've given you the example that the Torah tells us that this man faces our soul on the day of judgment, and he asks, "Very good, this is your life," and he shows everything he does, and he hears everything he says. It's there. And I've told you that I'm afraid to meet my great-grandparents, and even my grandparents. I never tell them the same thing. He didn't have a record player. He didn't have radio. He didn't have television. And he believed this. And you have all this, and you've got to struggle to believe in it. How is that possible? But that is what our sin does. And we begin to see things. We begin to understand forces in the world. There is magnetism, there it is gravitation, there it is electricity. You've got forces in the world. You can't see them at all. You've got in the human body, you've got in the world. You can't see them at all. But the effects that happen in the human body, the effects that happen in the world, what you can do with it. And I've given you various examples. So when you look through this room, you can say, the weather seems to be grateful for, in my adversaries. What comes to my adversaries? Well, my adversaries, there's power, the power is harmless, it is changed into electricity, and with electricity, look what you can do. But the radio, you've got the television, you can do that, look what you can do, lights, eating, cooking, electricity, come from that source. And so they are the changes. Trillions of stars, and each star can be a world of its own, you just don't know. It is own solar system, it is planets and its moons go around it. And so there is in the spiritual universe. And the chemical universe. It is also, Mr. Charles Fuller could say, think it comes down to that. Well, we live in this world in the elemental axiom. The question I want to discuss with you tonight, just for a few minutes, is do we live only in this world, or do we live in other worlds too? If our soul has come down, and our body has come down from its origin is in transcendental, in the transcendental form, the transcendental person, and it has come down to all these worlds there, does it mean that rather we live there, we live only there, so unconsciously, unbeknown to us, we are also living in another world. Since we are encased in a body, or incarcerated in a body, we can't experience it. Those who are very, very great live really in another world. At the same time that they are living in this world, and we must try and understand that. And now, I want to give you a few examples, a few indicators that are difficult to understand. When the wishbone, and you can sit back and relax a little bit, when the wishbone was being built, the demanded soil was invited to make contributions. So they made contributions in coin. They brought gold, they brought silver, to bring whatever they wanted to. They would need to get it. You have the receiving, the receiving of the fruit of the Shibetan, each show that they have a receiving. The receiving soul, let the people know, and whatever is lacking, is missing, good wanting, we will make up. Everybody knows, but in fact was, that nothing was missing, nothing was lacking. So they had nothing to do, they had missed their chance, they had missed the boat for the third day. We had missed it, nothing to do anymore. Have a good idea. So, what it says in the parable, what it says in the parable, is as follows. והנשים הביאו את אבני אשר עמדו את אבני המילים לאיפה ולאחר. All they were left to bring out the stone to fit into the breastplate of the coming from. That's all that they could bring. And the word Nesim is spelled Nun, Shin, Aleph, Nun. We would have expected to have been spelled Nun, Shin, Yud, Aleph, Yud, Nun, or at least Nun, Shin, Aleph, Yud, Nun. No, it's spelled one. The second of the spells, mistake. No mistakes in the Torah. So the Torah explains it, the Torah Shabbat explains it. Because they said, let everybody else bring, we will bring whatever is missing, we will bring. Because of that, and they couldn't bring anything, because of that, it's written once. And the seal is written without the link. What difference does it make to us? What difference does it make to us? You could say, all right, that's one example. Now let me give you another example. the similar issue of VUCA region could be that to raise enough based on the region. Dylan advised the Regionites that if they just really wanted to destroy the Jewish people, let the daughters go out in all the refinery and entice the Jewish men. That they finished there. And they proceeded to do that. And unfortunately, one of the Benoni swelled, and he was a prince among them, the king base of the Shimoni, he was the head of the Shevet of Shimon, he had an association with Cosby, the daughter of Tsu. Now Tsu was the head of the nation of Inuja, a very important king. And he was prepared to let his daughter take part in this. Now, what happened, so since he was the head, then we've got, afterwards, eventually, the kings of Midian are killed, and these are their lands. Erdi, Rechem, Sul, Chul, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. So where does Sul come in? There is Erdi, Rechem, Sul, Chul, Reba. Where does it come? Five. It comes to third. But if he was the head, he was making definitely he should have become first. The third that puts him third because a king prepared to give his daughter to something like this, he loses his place in the table and becomes third. This is what he's been killed. What difference does it make to him? So you know about it. That's what you say. One more example. You remember when Abraham left his wife and he wanted to have a burial place for her. He went to the Moabites and he spoke to them and asked for a burial place, and they said, and he said, give me a burial place, whatever the price is, I will pay. And they said to him, you want a burial place for your wife, and you want to pay us? You are the prince amongst us. We should pay you for wanting to bury your wife in ours. Take anything you want. So he said he wants the cave of Machpelah, and the cave of Machpelah belongs to Ephraim. And Ephraim said to him, Abraham said, I would like to bury my dead, and how much is it? He said, no Adonai, Shemo Eni, Abseri Nesati Lefa Mokorashe, Beidecho Nesatiya, don't worry, I'll give you the field, and I'll give you the cave that is in the field. I've given it to you in the presence of all my people, bury your dead. And Abraham prostrated himself, and he spoke unto Abraham in the ears of all the people, saying, Achimato, you should more aim in your sacrificial authority, Kachni Nuni, the best of all this, my dear, if you please. Listen to me. Let me pay. I've got the money, I'll pay you for the place. Ayan Ephraim. And Ephraim answered Abraham saying, Adonai Shema Eni, my master, listen to me. There is Arba Meir Shekhet Ephraim, but you don't know Khomani. a piece of land that is worth 400 shekels of silver. 400 shekels of silver? What is 400 shekels of silver between things, between you and me? Very good. And Avraham listened to Ephraim, and he weighed out to Ephraim the money which he spoke in the ears of the Bnei Chait, 400 pieces of silver. So he understood if he knew exactly how much it was worth, and he mentioned it, he knew exactly that he wanted that money. All through this whole passage, the name Ephraim is mentioned so many times. The last time it is mentioned, when it says, and Avraham weighed out to Ephraim the money, Ephraim is called Iron Pay Raised Men, the body of money. And he says the same thing. Tavish about it, Rashi brings the same thing. Because he worked that way. He wanted to have the money, wasn't straight about it, got the money out of it. It's written by Mr. Paul. They're different things. Well, we know that us, if somebody spells our name wrongly, we don't get the rest of the music. If it's in the newspaper, we don't get the rest of it. And the newspaper also apologizes for something. It is not the last correct person. We correct the person saying, this is the way it's correct. That's what it says. Now, a name is something very important. And the name we have here upon earth, it is with us. All the time. And when we are in the Olam or Emes, that name is with us. And that is why we are so particular that the child should have the same favors, that he could have a Jewish name. That goes with us all the time. Well, upon earth, if the name isn't spelled right, it means something. Well, in a higher world, can you imagine what it means? We were back at this point. A lack of recognition. That is the first thing. They should experience it even when they are alive. But when they perceive the higher, then they will see the memory. Now, the first is that when we live there, we live in a higher world. And so, there are various names that we call the same. There is Nefesh, there is Ruach, there is Neshama, there is Kaya, there is Yechido, there is Kodem. And this is the degree in which the soul is. A man can be well on earth and it's Nefesh and it's nothing more. And it can be well on earth and it can be Ruach and it can be even Neshama. And it is something called that. But that is something we still will be able to discuss a little more clearly. Thank you, ladies, if you want to ask me any questions, you can ask me. Yes,
Shemaine. Yes. Yeah. The rule of the soul in the body of Jesus, is it in a higher state, or is it missing, or is it just the body?
The thing is, what the soul is occupied itself with during the day. It can be in a lower state than it was during the daytime, and it can be in a considerably higher state. It depends on what is occupied itself during the daytime. But it's possible that in sleep and soul is in a considerably higher state. And I think that is that there are certain things that happen when one is asleep and soul over the time. When the alarm goes off, the alarm goes off, and the time you wake, a tremendous amount can take you to the mind. And I told you the story that we had to be at school, I think, because it came to go back to Milan. And the school was a bad school and a big clock on the top. And I had a bicycle, and I used to pedal up the road, and I turned the corner, and there was the school with the clock. And I knew the school was out, but I came past the line, I fell apart. The line could not have the road, and stand in line, 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 and and I was deep school, it was off the 75-9, and it was off the 75-9, I couldn't make it, I couldn't be 9-6-9, and we were punished for it. I did have a long clock up, and we had long clock day, and that was 6-9, we were you see. And there I started reading, but where I was punching up and firing, when I turned the corner, and it is 3-9, as I turned the corner, and I gave a surgery, and I don't have to be alone. Mm-hmm. So when did I start dreaming? I couldn't be alone then, too. Started dreaming. And when did I wake up? How long did it take me to wake up? It was a good second. It was a good second. So the same is in a higher state in sleep than it is in the waking bed. That is useful. Yes.
And yet, as for the seven hunger, the coming of to fall back to sleep, then we can have 1-2 hours of sleep.
Well, that won't do then. And we can achieve very much when we're awake and we can when we're asleep. No question about that. For that reason. There is a little bit of nature about sleep, that's too long, that is not good. Any other questions? Yes,
ma'am. Just back to the rest and fear of the suffering in the confession.
Yes.
What is the current grandstand like of the defense?
You know, I don't think there is a problem. I don't see a problem. There might be a little bit of problem if they don't have that. But it would be strange, isn't it? But he's saying they're really. What is this man's name that he's doing so much to try and find out? Saving is doing so much to you. It is easy to strange how unscientific scientists can sometimes be. In studying it, you do not in science believe that there is a God. You can't start it from there. In this culture, there must be life. On what basis? They can work that because there is a God that doesn't work it for. First of all, you have to be strictly excluded from this. He knew that what is there and it's completely illogical. That he is certainly not alive, you see. That is where he goes from that place for us. However, I don't think that it's a problem, but it would be less to contend with if we would know that. Any other questions? Thank you. And it makes the observation in order that you ladies should be able to work out for yourselves why it actually reflects. After all, what it shall we do? And the whole story with Bashir and Israel.
And it wasn't a numerology, it wasn't a direct order to do it. It was a mistake he made, I think. I mean,
it's not a mistake.
I think it's what Shai didn't do, and that was true that he tried to do it very
well. I don't know. So, why didn't he do any of that? He says, to know the evil law in the Torah. That is, a man brings a stage of doubt, brings a mountain of doubt, and the next day he believes the doubt to go to the next doubt, and his body is found, he's killed. That only doesn't go on. It's measured, which is the nearest time, and that time is all responsible. of the ages of the transcendental power, and to be shed with blood. What do you mean? Without quoting, knowing the fact that you're teaching properly, all these things are on it. In the 70,000 book, on that very place. So one man, he says, yeah, so many people, and it's the men sin, the women didn't sin, the children didn't sin, and the oxen and the sheep certainly didn't sin. So he didn't do it. Now, there are, greatly speaking, transgressions fall into two categories. The one is a transgression of character, that is a passion. The other is a transgression of faith. If a person doesn't believe in Hashem, that is a transgression that has to do with an intellectual disaster. If a person does a David HaMelech thing in the case of Bathsheba, that is a transgression of passion. Now, what it shows is, he said, I don't have to kill these people. If the men sin, the women don't, then the children to the sinner. Sometimes he saves the women and the children. The cattle, the oxen, they threaten to the sinner. Sometimes he saves all that. Is that a transgression of passion or of intellect? Intellect. That is the area of Hiti and the Tashoda. What is that? If you say to the question of passion. In this case of counting the people, what was it? Was it intellect or was it passion? You've got, then what is it that you wanted? Conscription, women's war, that's what it came to. It wasn't supposed to be that, but that is what it came to. So it is also passion. It is far easier to do sugar or transgressions of passion than it is to do for thought. Transgressions of passion. Immediately after it, the man regrets. And regret is the very foundation of tshuva. Serious tshuva. Shouldn't have done. That is the foundation of tshuva. But when it comes to questions of intellect, there is very difficult to teach it. Very difficult to teach it. Yes, sir.
Yes. In the beginning of the religion, the religion is in the religion.
Well, you see, you've got to be careful of that. In every book of life, is always in sin, otherwise it doesn't mean anything. For example, if they're building a big high-rise building and the surveyor, whatever it is right up at the top and he's walking on the top and he's standing right near the edge and he's bricked there and he's put by the space, and it falls and it kills somebody down below. But there is no intent to kill. You follow? So that is one thing. But let us say, every act that one does has got intent. Yes, that's right. So, what is the point that you want to make, Elizabeth?
And I think
that,
according
to Halakha, the punishment for premeditated crime
is that much greater
than... Very much so indeed. Now, you see, there is a distinction that is made between sexual immorality and thieving. And thieving, from one point of view, is considered worse than sexual immorality. Because thieving is too much premeditation. worked it all out, how he's going to do it. Not something that overcomes him. He's worked it all out. So that is regarded as something very, very serious. And then the destroyer of the land, as the Hobbit kind work, and the blessing of our house, the destroyer of the land goes first to church. And then when the destroyer of the land died, the Hobbit kind made a vestment for me, and he said, good proof, he said, on the own of the earth, the tribunal is composed of the tradition of that the previous generation. And my uncle, the Zimmer, the arrested on the Chofetz Chaim, quoted that. And the Chofetz Chaim said, and since the Israel of the land is so particular about this, we've got to be extremely careful about this, because we don't have tribunal. And then my uncle said, the Chofetz Chaim, then he goes through that person around. It is because the Christ is on the tribunal, but you can be very close to the people around. That is the way it is. Well, thank you for helping me. I said it's my task for evening. This evening that we finish this chapter of Samuel, and with that we finish the fifth chapter, and with that we finish the second book of Samuel. Yes.
Is there any significance to the fact of a wise man,
yes,
Massachusetts,
is
that a thing?
Yes,
indeed.
So
that we own the land,
is there any significance to that? I don't know whether it's a significant, that is very significant, but what was significant is that he should have been supposed to give the land, anybody could say, but even that has got some significance. And of course the very important thing is, that is where the Messiah of the Beit HaMikdash was. That is exactly the spot where it is built. And so, he really inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash, and that was the devil. And we've got Mishnah, Shiv, and Mikos about the devil. The 30th Psalm is the Psalm for the dedication of the house. And David writes that dedication Psalm, because he was the one who started it. Yes, yes, quite right. Can you see anything there?
There's
one who says that there are differences in your spirit. Sometimes it's diagonal and sometimes it is? Yeah, if you would look, if we will look in verse 16, the first time it's the very word in Gairin, and then you've got Ho Avarno Hayavusi. Now, if you look, there should be, that is the way it is written. But the way it is read, have you got Jupiter Sigo? There should be a mark of 16. There should be a mark. If you've got this edition, it should be there. At the bottom, you've got Arenokri, and Ho Arenokri. Have you got it? Yeah, the way it is read is Areno, although it's written Arabno. And Areno is very, very similar to the Orel, to the Ark, that keeps that kept the tablet. So there is certainly a relationship there. And then the order was brought into that vicinity.